from WXXI News. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made last month on Amtrak. A young woman named Sarah Jenks was returning to Rochester from a weekend downstate when she struck up a conversation with the man seated next to her. David was visiting from Ireland because of his obsession with Madam X. He had seen almost all of the film adaptations except for one made in the 1920s, and the George Eastman Museum owned the only copy in existence, so David had scheduled a viewing in Rochester. Well, as the train rolled into Rochester, the pair met up with Sarah's mother and ended up going to dinner. By the end of the meal, David had extended an invitation to visit his home in Dublin, saying even if the film didn't wind up meeting his expectations, his trip was worthwhile because of their encounter on the train. And this serendipitous meeting would not have occurred if Sarah had driven back to Rochester in a car. According to a study published by the University of Michigan's Transportation Research Institute, the percentage of 20-somethings with driver's licenses has fallen by 13% over the past three decades. And how about this? Only 24.5% of 16-year-olds had a driver's license in 2014. That is half of what it was in 1983. We're going to explore why that is and the possible benefits. And I want to ask you a question as we go throughout this hour and have this conversation. Would you really consider ditching your car, all the cars in your household? Would you go carless? And what would it take for you to do that? Well, Sarah Jenks did that, and I'm glad to have you here. It's nice to have you in studio.
Great, thanks.
How did you get here?
How
do you get around? It's so hard.
Well, I only live across the river and then down across the inner loop, so it's a very quick walk. So I trudged across Andrew Street, ran into a friend. We chatted. She offered me something to do this weekend, and then I went under the inner loop through that smelly tunnel, and here I am.
Well, it's nice to have you. I offered Sarah this slot last week when I bumped into her. In fact, I was moderating a panel that Reconnect Rochester had put together at the Little Theater, a packed theater watching a remarkable film on the link between transportation and poverty. And Sarah got up and asked a question and mentioned that you are, a young adult who's been car-free for 2.5 years. And I thought this is the moment that we should really talk about this, because there's a lot of hype in this community about walkable communities, ditching the car, but I don't know a lot of people who've done it, and you've done it. So I said, will you come in? And you said, sure. So let's kind of walk through your story, and then we're going to open it up to our listeners as we go throughout the hour for their questions, comments on what it would take to go carless. You grew up in Pittsford?
I did.
And you're a proud product of the Pittsford system?
Yeah, I loved attending Pittsford schools. I actually grew up out towards Powder Mill Park. It's like around near Parenton and Victor, a great place to grow up. And then after I eventually, as an adult, I moved to Boston to attend graduate school and lived in the city there, decided I just always want to live in cities now. And then when I eventually...
Oh, why is that?
Oh, I love interacting with things that are unexpected, and I love walking, and I love experiencing things like nature and parks on a personal level, on a human scale, and that's really easier in cities on a day-to-day basis.
So you loved Boston?
Yeah, I loved Boston. And then I came back to Rochester, and I moved back into my childhood home as a millennial boomerang, and then... after I, got on my feet and got a job, I moved into downtown. And my mom has since followed me to the city. She lives in the Wedge. So once I moved to downtown, I decided to try out commuting without a car. And I worked at Strong, so I could take the river trail easily on my bike. And then when Rock Transit Day came around, I had a free bus pass. So I decided, why not try the bus to Strong? And it was really easy.
And this was in 2014, 15?
2015, the spring.
All right, 2015. And Rock Transit Day, if I'm remembering correctly, help me out here. I think they do it usually in June, right as spring is kind of rolling into summer. And they ask people to try to get around without your car for the day. And obviously they'd love it if you took transit in some form. So you literally heard about Rock Transit Day and said, I'll do it?
Exactly. So unfortunately, Rock Transit Day isn't as branded as it was that year. It was just kind of serendipitous that this was the year I decided to try it. They had DJ Ollie Khan was there at the Transit Center on his turntables, and it was just a really big deal. They gave out free passes. I'm not really sure if they're doing that anymore, but it worked for me. I just tried it out.
Okay, and so... that day, everything changed, or not quite? You were still driving a car.
Yeah, I was. I still had a car. There is in my apartment building, each apartment gets one free parking pass. Or it's not free, it's included in our rent, but everyone is just guaranteed one parking pass. So I had that. But then about later that month in June, I was driving through the Berkshires and I got in a car accident, totaled my car. And it was just like a really shocking experience to see like what a car crash is actually like. And I know that a lot of listeners probably experience that. And I decided after that I just was like, I live downtown. I've tried all these transit methods. I'm just going to try living without a car. And that was 2.5 years ago.
Were you okay? Everyone okay in that crash?
Yeah, everyone was okay. It was just a two-car crash. I just had some bruises. And then a wonderful friend came and picked me up. I mean, I was in Massachusetts, so that was hard.
Yeah.
But everyone was okay. And I had a really fine experience as far as car crashes go. Everything crushed in the hood as it was supposed to. And, you know, I came out with just like some burns on my lips from the airbag.
Wow. And did you make any real effort to it sounded like it was totaled, you couldn't repair it, but to go back to cars, or was it almost immediate that you said, okay, that's it, there's not a car in my life?
It was immediate. I knew right away. And luckily, I live in a neighborhood where it's really easy to, or not really easy, but in relatively easy in Rochester to get around without a car. And I already knew that. And I had already experienced living without a car when I was in Boston. So I knew that it was possible. And it was easy.
Okay. And what was I'm sure this is sort of a lame question because, you know, people who still have cars, which is most of us who are hearing my voice right now, they'll say, well, what was the hardest part? Or, you know, like, well, what did you have to give up? Or things like that. And it sounds like you're really happy. It doesn't feel like you're giving up much. But was there a single harder part early on that you had to get used to?
Yeah. So there, it is hard for me to get to, like, the outer ring suburbs. So things like my favorite garden store is Sarah's in Brockport. That is really hard to get to. And then, like, my favorite yoga studio was out in Penfield. There is a bus that services out there, but it's just not easy to get there. So just old favorite places that I loved going to, I can't really get there. Luckily, friends like to go, so we carpool together, and it works out. But that was the only adjustment.
I think you mentioned via email, was it just the other day you took the transportation trifecta?
Yeah.
What's the trifecta?
Well, I totally made it up, but so let's see. I think it was like a Monday night. I wanted to get to two places that are like not super accessible on transit. That's getting from like East Ave to the Wedge. And so I started downtown, took the bus out to the Breathe Yoga Studio on East Ave. And then I needed to get to Orbs to meet my family for the taco truck Monday. So I took an Uber to get over to Orbs, and then to get back home, I took a Zagster, which is the bike share.
So, bus, Uber, bike share.
Yep, one
day.
I was my entire circle probably took 3 hours. It was great. And a half hours.
So we're talking to Sarah Jenks, who has been kind enough to come in and share her experience as a carless... Do you hate the term millennial? Is that all right? I mean,
no, I don't hate it.
It's okay.
Yeah.
If some millennials will come in and say, "Do not call me a millennial." All right. So you're a carless millennial. You're actually doing it. Now that you're doing it, how many friends ask you like, "What's your schedule like?" And have they sort of been inspired to look into it?
Yeah, definitely. Friends have been inspired. A lot of my friends don't live in Rochester, so it's kind of funny to them that I'm an anomaly, because people in New York and Boston just live this way all the time. However, here, since being car-free, I've gotten really involved with Reconnect Rochester, so everyone there is totally keen on the idea, although many of them still do own cars. They share the same views, and they understand. And like, I was just at a volunteer event recently, and we all were able to accommodate, you know, someone who was going to be 6 minutes late because that's when the bus got there. So I'm just surrounded by a group of people who are understanding. The one person who I really have turned is my mom, which is really fun. She, I got her a bus pass when she turned, sorry, mom, 65, because seniors get half price. So I got her that, and she's actually started taking the bus a little bit. She uses Zagster to get around, especially if she's meeting me. She's nervous about, you know, how I'll react if she takes a car. but it's, yeah, People are supportive, and it's fun.
Could you live this way if you still lived in the suburbs?
So I actually tried right when I moved back from Boston for a few months before I got my job at Strong. I was living in the suburbs, and I had to share a car with my mom. It wasn't completely car-free because I was, you know, working at Eastview Mall, and there's no way to get from Pittsburgh to Eastview Mall, say, in the winter. I would ride my bike around, but it's as bad as infrastructure here is in the city. Infrastructure is non-existent for bicycles in the suburbs, so it was hard, but I still tried. It just wasn't easy.
I'm going to take our first phone call, and we got a lot more Sarah's story to share. We also have more research and data, interesting numbers on how our society is moving in some direction. We'll share those coming up. But I'd love to hear your stories. 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Would you go car-free? What would it take for you to make that decision? Have you considered it? Are you using an automobile less? Sarah Jenks has been car-free for almost 2.5 years. Bill in Rochester wants to weigh in first. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, guys. I just want to say that I live in the city, and I think Sarah made a good point about one of the pros of living in the city is interacting with the unknown or whatever, the surprises. That's the fun part. But I would not go carless because I feel like when you give up your freedom to come and go as you want, you get stuck in the city. And like she said, it's hard to get to certain places she wants to go and this and that. But also, I mean, you take a train, it's nice, but you're on the train. If you take your own car on a road trip, which I took a month-long road trip over the summer, I found it just, it's the American dream, a road trip, taking off, going out on your own. Car can do that. You can do that on your own. I also want to point out that she's calling bikes Zagster. Like, you can own your own bike. You can own your own car and not take it out if you don't want to. You can find yourself finding easier ways to get around. I've never ridden in an Uber, but I might if I had to. But I don't think it's necessary because you know where you want to go. You know when you got to get there and get back. You give up your freedom if you don't own your own means of transportation.
Okay.
I'm surprised that some... Oh, sorry.
No, Bill. I mean, you're giving us a lot to chew on here. And what I want to do is kick to Sarah with the last comment Bill made there, which is you give up your own freedom if you give up a car. Yes or no?
Well, there's different perspectives to this, even along, you know, one side. So I feel pretty free. I do own a bike, and I usually ride my own bike. But I love this idea of options, and I'm not locked into any one form of transportation. And that's what makes a good transit system good. It's not just one. One can't just take the bus or a bike or walk. They can choose from any of these options what fits them at any given time. And I actually, like, I still, like, if I have to get to, say, I went to a wedding in Rockport, Mass last year, and that's not accessible, or it's accessible by MBTA, actually. Whoops. But I rented a car to get there. And, like, that's just one of my many options. A friend who lives in D.C. just told me about this new, it's like Airbnb for cars. You just rent somebody's car to, you know, go to IKEA or something. And I just love having all these options. I actually feel pretty free that way. I take trains and buses a lot of places. I think people would be surprised the small towns that, like, Greyhound and other independent bus lines go to. So I feel pretty free. I can take road trips.
All right, I'm going to get back to your phone calls in a second. Sarah has a story to share when it comes to what employers think, though. Because I saw Sarah again at this event last week from Reconnect Rochester, looking at how transportation and poverty intersect. And, you know, Sarah is someone who's fortunate that that doesn't touch her life in the same way it did in the people in the film. I thought the film was extraordinary. You agree?
Yeah, the film was great. I'd love if everyone listening could get their hands on it and see it.
And you can. It's available online. It's half an hour, and it will make you a better person. If you watch this film, I promise you, you will have a better understanding of just how difficult it is if you don't own a car because you can't afford it, but you are really dedicated trying to get out of poverty, but you're dealing with the transit system. It is a remarkable film, and we'll post a link online for you to check it out. Now, that's not necessarily your experience, but you still have to deal with employers who might say, wait a second, how did you get here today for this interview? And tell our listeners a story about that.
Yeah, so about, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I went in for a job interview, something I was super qualified for and had been really killing it in the interview process. I gave a great presentation on the topic, and then the interview really went sour when the program manager kept on talking about my lack of owning a car. In the job description, it requested that the candidate have a New York State driver's license and reliable transportation, and I consider myself to have both. I just don't own a car. And she kept on providing all these scenarios, really nitpicky about like, oh, well, you know, you got to go to a training in Syracuse. How are you going to get there? And I said, well, Amtrak and then a cab or, you know, a bus and these things that are just, it's not even that I like make it work. It's just my life, and it's just another way of doing things. But I think it's hard for people in Rochester or in other similar car-centric societies cities to imagine that someone can really thrive and do a job really well without a car.
Just seemed like it was hard for her to get her head around it, huh?
Yeah, and I think it's just like with any other thing, when you're provided with a completely different perspective, it's hard to imagine at first that this thing could be real and good even. So hopefully employers in Rochester change that, because I do see it in a lot of job descriptions, must have reliable transportation, like I said, I do have that, but they only think of it as a car, even though it might not even be as necessary to the job as they consider it to be.
And now think about the people in poverty who don't own a car, can't afford a car, and are being told you got to have reliable transportation. We are cutting out big portions of our society before they even get a chance to get in the door, and that's part of what that film is about.
Yeah, absolutely. So the film was about people who have to take, you know, like multiple buses to get to work, and they have to go, you know, really far. I luckily don't have that. When I was working at a specific location, it was just one simple bus ride. Tons of buses go from downtown to Strong. But I know that a lot of people come, you know, Strong, actually. So there are tons of people who live all over the city, and they might have to come from, you know, way up in Northeast or in Charlotte. And that's a really long bus and an added transfer. And in the RTS system, we don't have free transfers, so that's two bus fares right there just to get to work and two bus fares back.
Let me educate you people from Pittsford on how they say it up in Shalott. There's no R in Shalott.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. but there isn't. But anyway, Sarah Jenks is a true carless millennial. And talking about her experience in Rochester, in the surrounding region, grew up in a suburb, moved away to Boston, came back, now living in Rochester, choosing to live without a car. And just interesting, because the trends show that we're going slowly in this direction, but a lot of people talk the talk. And boy, wouldn't it be cliche if I said you're walking the walk. Because do you like that? That's a good one. I'm going to get Keith in Farmington on the phone next. Go ahead, Keith.
I have an interesting conversation. I got a couple cool questions for your guest. Well, when you did drive, did you enjoy driving?
You enjoy driving a car, sir?
Yeah, kind of. So places out like Farmington and Mendon and Victor, I love driving in those rolling hills. But I also get that similar experience on a bike, like the idea of going fast on a hill. I really don't like the idea of driving. Now I call it, I still appreciate cars. I use cars, but I do think of them as like 3-ton killing machines. So I don't like that idea.
Okay, Keith?
The one issue, if I lived in a big city, if I could afford it for one reason, which I can't, like New York, where everything is within probably a 20-minute walk that you'd ever need. I can understand not needing a car, but even if you live in downtown Rochester, other than the little theater, if you want to go to a movie, it's difficult. Most doctor's offices now are located in the suburbs. You have one grocery store downtown, But if you wanted to try, say, a Wegmans, you've got to figure out how a way to get there. So I'm thinking almost if you live in the city, you could have a car, but you might not have to need it as much as if you live in the suburbs. But if you do live in the suburbs, I mean, we have Uber now, but it's just so much easier and cheaper, just even when you can consider maintenance and gas and insurance, et cetera, to own a car, to go to the mall, to go shopping. The one thing downtown Rochester lacks, and I don't ever see it coming back, is a vibrant shopping district. If you need clothes or shoes
sure.
or something,
yeah.
you're sort of stuck to go out to the suburbs. And since the only system we have are buses, whereas New York has a subway system that can get you uptown, downtown, across town, all over. And the other thing is I really enjoy driving because I have a two-seater sports car. I can put the top down. And a day like today, it's just very fun.
You got to soak it up in these October days, Keith. I hear that. But Keith gave us a lot of interesting stuff there, Sarah, and I want to hit on a couple of them. Number one, he is a skeptic that downtown will ever have a vibrant shopping district. I hope Glenn Kellogg's ears are ringing today. Glenn's from Hart's Grocers. Well, I wonder if you go to Hart's. There's a downtown grocery option. But Glenn's also been in urban design and planning in a number of markets in this country. And Glenn, in the early iterations of the Parcel 5 debate, put forward his own proposal and then withdrew it to support another, essentially. But he talked about putting brownstones with a retail district out on Main Street and essentially in Parcel 5. And he believes that Rochester is ripe for that, that the Sarah Jenks of the world, the people who grew up in Pittsford, can actually make the decision to live in the city, and more would do that if we did have more of a focus there. And I know it's kind of chicken and egg, Keith, but people like Glenn Kellogg, who are far smarter than me, believe this is sort of happening and that this can happen. I wonder how you feel about this, Sarah.
Yeah, Keith, those are all really great points. I love sports cars as well. My dad has one. Whenever I go to visit him, you know, he was living on Long Island. We would like drive out to the Hamptons or something in the sports car, and that's the way life is there. That's fine. But actually, here in downtown Rochester, I not only manage, I can thrive in downtown Rochester. We do have one grocery store, and I go to that grocery store many times a week because it's hard for me to, like, you know, carry lots of groceries home, so on my bike or walking. So I end up going more often to Hart's, and I have really great relationships with all of the staff there.
Your mom's in the South Wedge, by the way?
Yeah.
There's Abundance Co-op. I mean, there's lots of options now.
Yeah,
there's more.
There's good options. Yeah, so every Thursday night I go and pick up my Piecework CSA at Abundance. It's great. And then
you talk about shopping as well,
okay,
downtown.
Yeah, shopping. I just, you know, I'll put on my millennial hat. We just don't really care about brick and mortar shopping as much anymore. You know, even just everything can easily come from online. I love shopping locally. I do shop locally. But we kind of have a new way of doing it with these, you know, like Mayday Underground type of pop-up stores that come up on, like, one Saturday a month or something. It's just a new way of shopping. We don't really need that brick and mortar. And it's great if Glenn Kellogg's going to make that happen. I love Glenn Kellogg, by the way. Thank you so much.
No, I just thought it was interesting because he's raising this possibility. And people like Glenn, who are real visionaries in this and have been that way in other communities, see that as part of the future. So we'll see. I'm going to get our only break of the hour, and I'm going to take more of your phone calls here. And if you want to call the program, you can weigh in on what it would take for you to go carless. And as we go to break, here's a couple of tweets. Patrick writes to us and says, going car-free is not a loss of freedom. Going car-free provides freedom from maintenance, insurance, loan payments, etc. Freedom ain't free. So so there's a pushback from one of our previous calls. Nick says, I could never go carless completely, but it's possible if public transit allowed reasonable travel from one side of the city to the other. And it takes hours now, so maybe subway or rail. Well, Doug says a sufficiently good subway system, and I ditch my car in a heartbeat in Rochester. I don't know about subway here, but maybe other forms of transit are part of the future. So that's the discussion this hour. We'll talk more about the numbers of who's going carless in our second half hour as well. Sarah Jenks, my guest, and let's get that break and come back to your phone calls next. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, Debbie Irving is a white woman from New England who says that until her adult life, she never fully understood the racial divide in this country. She explored her own biases and has written about her journey in a new book called Waking Up White. She's our guest for the first hour. Then in our second hour, the H2O Hero program is entering its 10th year. We'll talk about efforts to improve water quality in our lake and rivers. That is Thursday on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. A University of Michigan study from 2016 found that fewer than 1 in 4 16-year-olds had a driver's license in 2014, 24.5%. That is almost cut in half from 1983. So you turn 16, you don't just go out and get a driver's license right away, and some never get a driver's license. Only 69% of 19-year-olds had a driver's license in 2014, compared to 90% in 1983. And other research shows that over the age of 55, older adults were more likely to have a driver's license in 2014 than in 1983, but in the case of age 70 and older, much more likely. But as those groups age too, there's a modest decline. So I guess what we're seeing is we are slowly seeing all paradigms shift here away from the driver's license, and it's really being driven by people like Sarah Jenks and people in her age cohort. And before I come back to your phone calls, the phones are lit up. Sarah made a very important point during the break, which is that sometimes when we talk about a transportation plan for a community, we're like, well, you know, we'll get this done in 5 or 10 years and then that's it. Whereas you view this as sort of a forever issue.
Yeah, so I was telling Evan that I think that our transportation issues around cities are never going away. So, and they'll change, and we need to be able to change with it. But I was thinking when I first moved to Rochester, it's kind of funny, like the development plans I hear and transit-based development things, it seems like people just think Rochester's going to end in 10 years. Like we aren't developing these really long-term plans. And an example of a long-term plan is that my brother and his partner live at 96 and 2nd on the Upper East Side, which, if you don't know, that's where the new terminus of the 2nd Ave subway is. And that plan has actually been around for 100 years. So New Yorkers have been, I know people say Rochester, you know, can't do what New York does, but I disagree. People have been waiting 100 years for this thing that's like really changed the New York City subway in the past 9 months it's been open. So I would love a long-term, more dramatic plan that is willing to take on the issues of transportation.
Back to your phone calls, and this is Kim in Pittsford. Go ahead, Kim.
Hey, Evan. First, I'd like to say we need to improve the bus system, and I'm not talking for people on Park Ave and East Ave. It's for the people that live in the Northeast or Northwest. I think it's a tragedy what happens up there. That being said, my wife and I live downtown for a good while, and loved it. We walked everywhere. It was very easy. And then these things called human beings showed up, and we have three of them. And I'll give you a short list of their activities. You can tell me if we can do this without a car.
Yeah, yeah.
Two play baseball, football, soccer, gymnastics, chorus, chess club, Lego club, and Girl Scouts. That is a very short list. If you ever try and do that without a car, you can cross pretty much every one of those off the list, because it ain't going to happen. They're not going to get there. And I would love to say, you know, we could go without a car. My wife and I try and be very environmentally friendly. But when kids show up, it is very difficult. It is 1,000 times easier to live without a car when there's no kids there.
I would
love to know how to do this by living in the suburbs, because most of the people in this county do live in the suburbs. But I don't see that happening. But let me know. Thanks,
Tim. And Tim is one of these super dads who takes kids to, from what I know of Tim, takes kids. There'll be an 8 a.m. soccer game, and then a noon soccer game, and then a 4 p.m. soccer game in like three different towns, all on a Saturday. And a lot of families are experiencing this, and he's right. I mean, it is way easier to even contemplate this without kids. Now, in New York City, there's lots of families that do this, but that's different. Do you view this county ever going in that direction?
So I totally hear you, Tim. I grew up in Pittsburgh going, we had the exact same schedule, and a car is totally necessary. I appreciate that. Even if there are people who live in the city who have that kind of schedule and they need a car as well. I think that cars are just one of the options. And I'll be honest, you mentioned that one of your activities is gymnastics. There unfortunately isn't a gym for at least adults within the city. So I like to go up to the Victors in Shalott. And
there you go.
And I borrow my mom's car to get up there. So I do it.
But Tim, I think to that point, you're right. I mean, if you want to live a suburban lifestyle in this county right now, you're almost certainly not going to do it without a car if you're going to raise kids. Probably not. But I think what we are seeing is that there are people like Sarah who says, well, I'm gonna go without a car entirely. Then there are people like, we had a phone call from Barbara in Scottsville. She says, I live in a small village. I can walk everywhere I need to go. But if you have an emergency, having a car is imperative, especially if you have children. So Barbara's point is, I'm going to own a car, but I'm going to use it less. So maybe what our society does is a couple of things. Maybe the Rochesters of the world aim to create this multimodal infrastructure. They bring people like Sarah from the suburbs to the cities by choice, without a car by choice. And then the suburbs, or the more rural outlying areas, try to create these center villages that are at least much more walkable or more accessible multimodal. The people own cars, but they drive them less. That may be where we're going.
Sounds great.
Realistically, right? Yeah,
no, I think last week at the movie we went to afterwards, there was a panel. Maggie Brooks, VP of something at RTS, mentioned that she doesn't ever see people abandoning cars. And it made me sad at the time to hear that. But in the past week, I've been thinking like, yeah, you know, it's true. Cars are just one of our options and we can make them more environmentally safe. So that's something that's coming up. And then they'll just be another fine option to use. But people, when we think it's the only option, it just, someone said on Twitter, it takes away your freedom.
Also, before I get back to your phone calls, I'd like to apologize. Marty emails me to say that correcting you as a Pittsfordian on how to pronounce Shalott was nasty and was mean. And I did not intend to be rude. There are many times in this community where I've lived here for almost 2 decades where I have to learn how certain things are pronounced down to the T in different spots, and I like to be corrected. But Marty, if it came across as rude, I apologize both to you and to Sarah as the Pittsfordian in the room.
I didn't take it as rude. It's okay. I noticed you had a show about Rochester accents recently. We have a funny way of pronouncing things.
Lots of things.
Even I'm still learning.
Lots of things. I grew up, my nephews live in Avon, Ohio, not Avon. So there's just lots of things that I'm still working on, and I always want that help. Brian, next on the phone. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi, good afternoon. From actually just downstairs.
Hello, Brian from downstairs. The call is coming from inside the building. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, so, I live downtown. I live over in St. Paul and Andrews. I do have a car. However, I drive it maybe once every 2 months for those rare occasions where I need to carry something large that I can't fit on my bike. I also have a trailer. I have a utility trailer that I picked up that holds about 180 to 200 pounds of material. So going shopping is kind of nice. I just ride that over to Hart's and or Wegmans and get what I need to get and come back. And it's nice because it's on wheels. I can just roll it right into the building. So that's my solution for the heavier shopping. As I heard that come up earlier on the show, mm-hmm. They're very affordable. You can pick up a nice trailer anywhere from $50 to $100, and they last forever. And I put mine through some rigorous testing, and it does last. Secondly, I wanted to bring up the trail systems around here. The Rails to Trails program, which has taken a lot of the old rail beds and trolley beds and converted them to bike trails or bike and hiking trails, such as the Lehigh Valley Trail, the Riverway Trail, the Greenway Trail, and the Auburn Trail, which is a little bit more south. You can easily do about a 50-mile loop connecting to Henrietta, Pittsford, Mendon, and you're basically on a flat level plain because it used to be a railroad bed. I can get from downtown Rochester out to my parents' house in Henrietta on Erie Station Road in about 35 minutes, and it's about a straight line. And you bypass. You don't have to go on West Henrietta Road. You don't have to go on any of those roads that are just abysmal to use with a bike. They're terrible. I mean, there's, as far as the bike infrastructure in the suburbs go, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. It's gotten a little bit better with some additional sidewalks, but it's not enjoyable. But there is a vast amount of trails to easily get around from point to point in the area, and we're very lucky to have those. And I think more awareness to the public needs to go out about those trails.
Where would you send people to learn more about where the, what the trails are and how to access them, Brian?
Oh, gosh, there's a whole, if you go to, like, if you just Google Rochester bike trails or Rails to Trails, if you Google Rails to Trails, Rochester, New York, you could find all of the, there's maps, there's all sorts of maps, and there's stops along the way. There's, for example, in Rochester Junction, the Rochester Junction, which is just south on the Lehigh Valley Trail, has, you know, bathrooms, water fountains. There's the Menden Station has a little park with water fountains and all sorts of nice amenities, and, you know, where you can just sit and relax and just really enjoy. But yeah, but definitely look up the Rochester, New York Rails to Trails. And if you want to look up on Google Maps, Lehigh Valley Trail or the Greenway Trail, the River Trail, they you'll be quite surprised to see how much they will connect you to the area, including the suburbs.
All right, well, thanks. Go back to work, man.
Yeah, I got to work on keeping you on the air here.
thank you, Brian. Thanks for always doing a great job on our phone lines, too. And Brian's making some, first of all, some good educational points if you don't know about trails and those opportunities. He did say that suburban bike infrastructure is abysmal. You grew up in Pittsburgh. You came back from Boston. You rode a bike in the suburbs a little bit before moving to Rochester?
Yeah, I did. So growing up, I actually was on my bike every day. So I learned to ride in the street because there's no other place to ride out there. And the Auburn Trail, actually, now it goes through what was my backyard. So that's awesome now, but it didn't exist when I was growing up. It wasn't extended all the way out there. It did exist.
You think the suburbs can do more on bike infrastructure?
They absolutely can. It's not a comfortable way to ride for people who aren't, you know, really comfortable on their bikes. So I know that people do have trouble, and I always got funny looks when I would ride my bike out from near Powder Mill Park into the village of Pittsburgh. People were kind of, it was just a surprise to see someone riding that far.
On Twitter, Chris says, are we sure this paradigm shift of lower car ownership across the spectrum is a result of people wanting to go carless, or is it more likely a combination of the increased cost of car ownership and maintenance and the squeezing of the middle class? Well, the Atlantic Monthly in January of 2016, in their piece on the decline of the driver's license, they cited that Michigan study in which researchers asked 18 to 39-year-olds why they didn't have driver's licenses. And here are the top, here are the essentially three reasons, and it's roughly a third. 37% said too busy or not enough time to get a driver's license. 32% said owning and maintaining a vehicle is too expensive. And 31% said they're just able to get transportation from other sources. So, yeah, I mean, Chris makes a good point here. That's roughly a third of people 18 to 39 who aren't driving say they can't afford to. What about you and your peers, your friends? Do you think about transportation because you want to live in a city, that you love that Boston experience, you want to experience that kind of thing in Rochester? Or is it also, hey, this is expensive, this would be great because it would be less of a cost burden on us?
Yeah, so that is something that I thought about when I gave up my car in 2015, or I decided not to go back to car. It was great not having to pay a car payment and insurance and parking every month. So it's definitely an added benefit.
Okay. Lila in Rochester on the phone next. Go ahead, Lila.
Oh, I've been watching my watch. I can't believe it. Evan, this is Lila. I love you, darling. So I'm a different part of your population, sweetheart. I've called before. I'm 83 years old, and I have to turn off your radio. I'll just put my finger in my other ear. So I am in an assisted living facility. I lived in Brighton for 48 years, raised wonderful children. And all of a sudden, I had some health issues, and the doctor said I couldn't live alone anymore. And I don't even know what Uber is. So could you explain to people like of my generation who perhaps have no clue what Uber is? Because that would be wonderful for me. I do end up walking, But there's a lot of places that I just can't walk, and it would be hard for me to get a bike. But what is Uber?
Lila, I always love when you call, and you can call anytime.
You said that the last time.
I do.
I've been waiting a half an hour. I didn't even go down for lunch.
Thank you for the call. You can go back to listening on your regular radio, Lila. It's a great question, and I'm going to let Sarah Jenks handle that. Lila says, I'm 83. I don't know what Uber is. I hear about Uber. What's the short description?
Hey, Lila. So Uber is actually kind of a new form of cab that you have to have a smartphone for. So maybe you do. And it uses an app to call someone who has a car. And sometimes they're traditional cabs, but also sometimes people just use their own personal cars and drive around and act as a taxi driver. And it's a really convenient way. You just say where you are, they come and get you, and they take you to your destination, and then you give them a tip, and that's your ride.
So, Lila, instead of the old taxi model, there are people around you who are probably Uber and Lyft drivers. A friend of mine, I wanted to watch the Yankees lose last night. Not only did they not lose, but this friend was not available, so it was a double whammy for me. And yes, he was not available because he's driving for these ride-sharing companies now. That's what he's doing on the side to make a little bit of money. And again, I'm not endorsing. I know it's controversial to some. I'm just sharing a description. But Lila, you got to have a smartphone, like Sarah said. It is an app, which means it's just part of your phone. You call for the Uber or the Lyft, which is essentially a taxi, same kind of deal, that way. And it's not a cheap way to travel for the most part. You wouldn't want to, if you're independently wealthy, that's one thing. But you couldn't do it every day, could you, Sarah?
No, I rarely use it. It's just a special circumstance when I would use it. But it's good to get to the airport because cabs are really expensive to get to the airport, and sometimes I miss the bus.
We have a few minutes left with Sarah Jenks, who is a millennial who has been car-free by choice for almost 2.5 years. And Barbara writes to the program and says, walking isn't an option in the winter months, especially if you have small children who are prone to frostbite. Well, absolutely on the kids' side, I understand why that's more difficult. But let's just talk about winter in general. Do you find it harder in the winter? I mean, of course it's going to be harder, but do you find anything really limiting, and does that make you question your decision in the winter months here?
No, I don't question my decision in the winter months. It's part of my life here. I have good bean boots that have a lifetime warranty, and they keep my feet dry, but I always bring a second pair of shoes and just have a good coat. And bus drivers are really talented at what they do, so they get people places better than personal cars do. I love riding the bus in winter. I feel really safe. And then walking around, yeah, I like walking around in the winter too, because it's fun, and it's a good way to bring people together who are also going through that.
Michael in Rochester called, and I don't necessarily have time to grab this call, only because, Michael, we've been hitting the subject from a number of different people. Tim in Pittsford called earlier to raise the issue of what you do when you've got kids and how hard that is. So, yes, to Michael's point, to Tim's point, to many points, to Barbara's point, it's harder with kids. But I do think that there is this assumption that there's only one way to travel. And you raised the point about taking the bus and how you appreciate bus drivers and you feel safe and it's really solid. Well, there are some people who stereotype bus riding. What do you think the misconceptions are about it, Sarah?
So here in Rochester, I think people, I don't really like speaking for other people, but I think there is a misconception that the bus ride is for unsavories or something, and it's only, I don't know. But I love riding the bus. I love, you know, getting to see little children who are, you know, really excited about their bus ride. And I think it's fine. And actually, I forgot to touch on something earlier. Mm-hmm. When someone said we need a bus system redesign, it's actually happening. And we start tomorrow with surveys on the bus. So I'll be at the transit center at 5 a.m. tomorrow conducting surveys. And if you have any opinions on the bus, whatever they may be, I think there's a survey online as well for Reimagine RTS.
Yep.
So definitely, you know, put that in, and they'll take into consideration all of these things. If it turns out that the only thing that would help the bus system is like a campaign to help people understand who's riding the bus and that it's safe, then that'd be cool.
Yeah, Reimagine RTS is going to be happening really from essentially now over the next year or so. And they say that this is the only time they're going to do this over the next 30 years. This is your one chance to really get in, offer your ideas, and that at the end of next year, they're really going to take a serious look at the options for redesigning RTS to suit the community's needs entirely. And we're going to have, I hope, Bill Carpenter, Maggie Brooks back on this program real soon to talk more about that, because there's still a lot of questions and issues about that. But they have said themselves they want to see, quote, more ties on the bus. In other words, they want people to see more business professionals on the bus. They want to, you're shaking your head at that.
Yeah, I don't think the way to make, get, I don't know, I don't think the way to get more people on the bus is by making it cool. The way to get more people on the bus is by making it better.
Okay. Well, Daniel tweets to us and says, a real transit system in Monroe County is what we need, and the spoke and hub system must go. Two rails also at a minimum. So that's what Daniel wants. And I understand, Daniel, a lot of people would love to see that happen. He says the spoke and hub system must go. What do you think about that?
Totally agree. I'm the only person it works for. I live.
You're like the only person?
Yeah, I'm the one. I live two blocks from the transit center, and then, you know, I used to work at Strong, so every bus goes to Strong. It worked out for me, but everyone else has to take transfers, takes a long time. I think there are maybe a few crosstown buses, but it's not great.
Lutetia next on the phone. Go ahead, Lutetia.
Hi, Evan.
Hey, Lutetia.
Hi, Sarah. Told you I'd call.
Thank you.
I think we're forgetting about a significant population here, the disabled population in Rochester, whose cars are not an option. It's not a choice. It's a must. Our bus system is not well equipped to handle the disabled population. Bike shares currently aren't really accessible and haven't really found a good solution or model to make it a true bike share and not just something that's recreational. Our trailways, while great, do not really work very well for hand cycles. I know because I've been stuck many a times on our trails on a hand cycle, and it takes at least three people to get you moving again. So when you think about car share, et cetera, how do you make this accessible? How do you make it so that I, as an individual, can be independent? I shouldn't have to have a friend come with me to take an Uber just in case the Uber driver wants to be, you know, a jerk. Or, you know, when I look at my own situation, the more disabled I get, the more my transportation needs come to the forefront. And vehicle ownership is very, very cost prohibitive. You're talking a minimum of $50,000 to $100,000 just to get a van. And then you're talking about a minimum of $15,000 just to modify that van for an individual's needs. So these are things that someone who is very income constrained cannot access. So that leads to social isolation, higher rates of depression, and then you get higher rates of suicide, especially for those who are newly spinal cord injured. So we really need to think multimodal, but we also need to think inclusively.
All right, Lutetia, thank you for that. It's a good reminder, and there's no doubt that this conversation has a lot of privilege to it. We know that. There's no doubt about that, and I do appreciate the reminder, and we will keep that in mind going forward. I want to squeeze in a couple more quick comments from listeners. John says, I like what your guest said about options. I live in Geneva, and I've developed a partial car-free life. Usually in Geneva, I walk or bike, except when I've got to bring my therapy dog to meet with clients. Outside Geneva, I still need a car because public transportation is still lacking for the places I go. He says, I'm 61 years old. I want to know, are there initiatives to develop transportation in the outlands? And the answer, John, is I don't know, and I think Reconnect Rochester would love to know. We should be continuing to follow that story. It's a great question and an interesting sort of partial car-free experience. And I will read a tweet from a listener named Megan who says, I've been car-free for more than 3 years. I wish I had done it sooner. It has actually elevated my lifestyle. So that's from Megan. I got about a minute left here. I opened the hour with that story of the man on the train. You had this great experience. Why don't you only got about a minute, but tell me the value you get when you ride that train and you talk to people and what that kind of means for you. You going to go to Dublin?
Yeah, I'm absolutely going to Dublin. Got to figure out how I can get there. But I'll be there soon. And I had this same experience when I, you know, and I've traveled other places. I, you know, take buses and I take trains, and it's just a really good way to get local knowledge. I mean, David had that experience from me, and now he wants to impart, repay the the experience that he had in Rochester. So I'm going to go and have an awesome time in Dublin.
And you feel like you know Rochester better because you don't use a car, don't own a car.
Yeah, absolutely. I just, you know, take my bike around. I know most of the streets in Rochester. Sometimes I just go out to explore on my bike just for the sole purpose of understanding more about my neighborhood and what's going on.
And you feel like you see more of the shops, more of what's going on. It's interesting when we get outside of our car, how that forces us to do that. And look, listeners, please don't think I'm condescending here. I mean, I use a car, but sometimes what I do is I just lock into the same exact route every time. I don't see new things. I'm in my little car bubble, and then you get to where you're going, and you're in your little work bubble. And Sarah walked in, and she saw somebody in our building, works in our building, also works downtown, and knew her. And I said, how do you know each other? And she said, well, I go to where she works now, and it's part of the experience of getting outside of a car. Sarah Jenks, thanks for sharing your experience, and you sparked a lot of conversation, a lot of fun. Thank you. How are you getting back now? You going to walk?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Yeah, I'll be walking. Good. Maybe I'll walk by High Falls because I have that option.
You do have that option. It's beautiful. How many people haven't even been on the Pont d'Arène, for example? What a beautiful day for that. Thanks to Sarah. Our thanks to Rob Braden, the engineer, Audrey Sample, intern, Megan Max, the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Maybe you'll be riding the bus with friends today, or maybe not. Have a great day. Talk to you Thursday on member-supported public radio.